This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Nobody knows the trouble. But my Jesus, nobody knows the trouble but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Glory, hallelujah. Sometime I'm up, sometime I'm down. Oh, yes, Lord. Sometime I'm almost to the ground. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes. Trouble I see, nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows trouble I see. Glory, hallelujah.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
And good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Thanks for joining me. That was Miss Mahalia Jackson. And I played that in memory of Miss Louise Horio. And she was with CFOD, and I have joining me today, we're going to be talking about some of the work and activities that she was involved in regarding the handy van and issues with the disabled and getting around the bus system. And she is now recently passed. And I have Mr. Donald Sakamoto on the line, and in the studio here with me is Richard DeConte and Barbara Armentrout. So good morning, Donald. And can you just share with us who Louise Horio was for briefly?
Good morning. Thank you for taking this opportunity to come on your show, Carol, and to your listeners to hear what we have to say. Louise Horio, a fantastic woman. Fortunately, she passed away recently on July 26. She was very active in advocate for the disabled people. She herself is disabled. She came into the group in 2006. But first of all, our Sea Father group was started in 2002 by Norris Nakamura, who is, I believe, Chief Nakamura's brother, former Chief Nakamura's brother, and Ethel Rita was the secretary. She has passed on, but they started the group off at the Rehab Hospital of the Pacific in Nuano. And then they had meetings with Roger Morton from OTS, who was the president of Hawaii Transit Services, and with Handy Van and the bus issues. Then it moved, our group became official in 2006 with the trademark CFADR, Citizens for Fair ADA Ride, CFADAR, which means CFADR. And we've been having, Louise was our chair at that time, and she has been having quarterly meetings with DTS, Department of Transportation Services, Wayne Yoshioka, OTS, Oahu Transit Services, Paratransit, which is the handy van, and trying to resolve the issues concerning the handy van and bus issues. Keep coming over and over, same issues. Every time we have meetings, nothing really gets resolved. Maybe a little here, a little there, but not that much. And we seem to be we're going forward with a lot of things. And then in 2010, we had a quarterly meeting of September, I believe, or August of 2010. And it seems that we were going backwards, and it's horrendous. You know. But she's a very good advocate. I really miss her. She was my vice chair, my communications officer. And she'll be greatly missed. And we want to just continue on and keep on pushing for a better resolution of what's going on with the bus and handy van.
Okay. Well, thank you. And our hats are off to Louise. Mm-hmm. And hope for her family and all is doing well. But again, Richard is here, Mr. DeConte, and some of you have heard. Both Donald and Richard calls into the show occasionally, and just an abundance of knowledge and information. And I just thought I'd seize the opportunity in affording this community an opportunity, a chance to hear firsthand, not in snippets, not in a TV soundbite, but where hopefully you, the listener, could see the full impacts of these things that we would never get to hear, how it takes 5 hours to get to and from work on the bus system, or you may not even be picked up on the handy van and you're waiting for dialysis or whatever.
Exactly.
So, Richard, if you could briefly tell us some of the things, and we're going to talk for 2 hours, actually.
Thank you very much for inviting us in. Louise Horio should be sitting here. My name is Richard DeConte. I'm a private citizen, but an activist. I'm a former quadriplegic, year 2000. For 4 months, I was on therapy and then had an operation, so therefore I'm able to walk and be mobile now. I joined CFADR in just 6 months ago, so I know I don't know that much, except for the people that have much more experience with the group than I. Over the many years, however, there have been many, many problems. Those who could help us enact legislation are the mayor, Wayne Yoshioka, Director of Transportation. These names are going to come up. Roger Morton, Office of Transportation, OTS for buses. Handy Van Director John Black for the van. City Councilman Hori Morimoke. As I see it, the most significant problem we have is funding. Not enough buses, many vehicles, inoperable equipment, broken, not replaced, communication lacking. Many critical problems have been like this for years. Now, we receive federal subsidies, which is absolutely essential for our ridership. The Honolulu City Council receives federal subsidies from the Urbanized Area Formula Program, 5307. The money is to pay for new buses, vans, preventive maintenance, and improve transit circuit locations. Imagine this. I think this is significant. You have an apple pie and you have a financial pie. One apple pie is for two people. Cut one half of the pie for one, cut one half of the pie for the other, 50-50. Now the financial pie. Before the rail, subsidies were 50 for the bus, 50 for the van, or some arbitrary amount. Now for transportation, one-third for the bus, one-third for the van, one-third for the rail. The bus will have less, the van will have less. In council chambers, 6 months ago, I gave Roger Morton a letter. Have any money been diverted from the bus or the van to the rail? No reply. In council chambers, I asked him the direct question again, the same question. Roger Morton did not answer. Wayne Yoshioka said no. Now, I've been told that from the Urbanized Area Formula Program, one-fourth of the money will go for the bus, one-fourth for the van, and one-half to the rail. I do not know that to be a fact. This is in 2013. Bus will receive less. Van will receive less. Rail will receive more. Why doesn't the public know? And the reason is, going way back, no transparency.
Mm-hmm. Barbara?
Well, I met Louise Horio when she called me up. I went to a CIFAR meeting because my friend Rose asked me to go, and I started going to them because I've been going city council, and I go to their meetings and what I can see and contribute to the handy van and things that I see that might be wrong. I bring to their attention, like, no restroom at the Alapai Transit Center. Mm-hmm. There's two there that are locked, and they're for the use of the bus drivers. But the people that catch the bus there and people in wheelchairs and disabled people, ADA, they don't have access to a bathroom, and they might be getting on a bus to go to the other side of the island. And I think Louise asked me to come because I'm the spokesperson of the number 14 bus petition with over 600 names. And that's not just St. Louis Heights people. It's Monolani Heights people, everyone along the whole 14 bus route. We were told, oh, well, they're cutting it out because of low ridership, but apparently, they put buses completely on the 14 route. And there's ARC School that have 67 teachers plus 52 disabled adults that ride that bus. And they were told they can take the 22, which is the Hanamet Bay Beach bus, and they won't be able to get four wheelchairs on there. It's always packed. Mm-hmm. And they haven't had any transparency because they've been playing games with us from the beginning. Because there was one route at the beginning, and we said, no, we want to keep the same route. We want to keep the same route. We've had city council members. We have 15 risers in, and that's from city council to Department of Transportation. That's requests for investigation and service reports. And even a letter from the Speaker of the House, Calvin Say, supporting us. And the Department of Transportation, they should be shamed and embarrassed. And this is the bus, too. Should be ashamed and embarrassed with the way they have done the bus cuts back in June and starting today. Not just the 14, but all the other buses. It all kind of all goes back to August 2010 when Nelson Nygaard, a consulting firm on the mainland that they've paid $499,058.12, and I got that information from the Deputy Director of Transportation, wrote a report and started telling how to interface the buses in with the rail. And in this report, they says, get rid of the B. Well, they got rid of the B. In this report, it says, alter the Circle Island. Well, now they've altered the Circle Island. So all this is going back to this plan that they're following from someone on the mainland. So our property taxes are going to pay a consulting firm on the mainland. And then on top of that, they don't know how Hawaiians ride the bus. We don't just go from A to B. We go from A to B maybe to work. And if you don't work, you go to the store from there. And then you might meet someone at Ala Moana Park. So you might be on four or five buses. They're making it so that you can't even connect to those two. Mm-hmm. Now, what they've done with the 14 is for 120 days, they haven't talked to anybody. They haven't responded to me, no one on this petition. They says it doesn't reflect the ridership. Well, I got every signature on that 14 bus. And I feel for the other buses, but then what happened was at the July St. Louis Association meeting, they came up and says, well, we're thinking about doing a 95-minute route. We said, absolutely not. We live in Honolulu. We can't have a bus come up the hill almost every hour and a half to 2 hours. That doesn't work. We have UH students. And so we didn't hear anything more. Then I went to all these neighborhood boards, and they showed all the new maps, and they gloss over and wouldn't show the 14. And I started to think, well, something's up. They're not showing this. And then I got a communique from my cousin who works at the bus company. And on July the 12th, they did sign up for the drivers, and it was a 65-minute route. They did cut our route, but we're working with Ben Cayetano to bring them back. He asked for a copy. He's the only one that asked for a copy of the petition, even though I sent one to the mayor, but I haven't heard back from him. And so I knew that they were talking about a 95-minute route, but the sign-up was for 65. Well, lo and behold, this week, Monday, the bus drivers who signed up for the 65-minute route says it's 95 minutes, mm-hmm. which means the bus always runs late. That's every 2 hours. That's unacceptable. We don't have any way to go to Safeway. It's crippling communities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Donald, you want to hold on? I have a, and sure. then you can, there's a phone caller. Let's see. Caller, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, good morning. Real quickly, you have a comment, a question?
Yeah, Carol, this is Tommy D, and Barbara knows me real well. I was the guy that broke this story way back in April on KHON TV2 with Ron Mizutani. Then I was with Jim Mendoza. Then I was with Joey Kerr. And then I've been on the every on the newspaper. You're the fourth radio station that I've been on now. I personally talked to Cayetano, Kirk Cardwell. Me and Mayor Carlisle got into it big time. Me and Wayne Ishioki got into it big time. And I'm a disabled 100% combat Vietnam veteran. And I have never seen anything where they hold all these meetings like Barbara's been at all of these. People come, they speak out, they sign the petitions. The councilman just last week voted to restore the bus routes, and they're still ignoring it. They tell us one thing. I called up for 3 weeks in a row the Department of Transportation. The Department of Transportation tells you to call the bus company up to find out what's going on. You call the bus company up. They say, we're not at liberty to give you that information. You have to call back the Department of Transportation. This has been going on for 3 whole weeks now. And I said, enough is enough. Now, the last thing I'd like to say is, I want to say shame to one bus driver. I'm not going to mention his name. Barbara knows who he is. Who has come on TV, who has been on the radio, who's been in the media, one bus driver, one guy.
Stop for a minute.
Who put himself out on the line for everybody, one guy. Shame, if there's any of those bus drivers listening, shame on every one of you. Shame on all, and the head of the bus drivers union, you should just resign, because I tell you what, when HPD has any trouble, you'll see their union representative on TV and everywhere. If the Honolulu Department has a problem, you're going to see their representative. I have not seen, heard, or nothing from any of the bus unions, and the bus people better realize one thing. Without the bus riders, you have no job. Straight, blunt, cold turkey. And why this union has not united to stand up for the bus riders, who stood up for them when they went on strike, and we were inconvenienced for quite a long time, but we backed them up, and then they're going to turn right around and throw the bus riders under the bus? The 14-route bus does not need to be changed. This guy, Wayne Ishioki, he gave me his personal number, and then when I tried to call him, he disconnected it. He never answered my emails. Ron Mizutani from Channel 2, before he left Channel 2, he never returned his emails. This guy, and I hope he hears me, and I even offered to go on all these news stations and debate, personally, go on the news stations, every one of them, debate Wayne Ishioki and the mayor face-to-face on TV, and they won't do it. Mm-hmm. Because I don't back down. And, you know, I mean, I'm a guy that believes what is right is right. And they've lied to the people. Now, this Monday, tomorrow, is going to be a nightmare for a lot of senior citizens, a lot of elderly people, a lot of disabled people. Because right now, if you got in your car, Carol, came down right now to our bus stop, you won't see anything telling anybody about it. Any changes, what time the changes are going to be, what buses they got to take. There's nothing. The people are in the dark, and tomorrow is going to be a major catastrophe. And I hope Barbara continues to fight, but I have fought these guys, and they've fought these guys, and I truly believe every single one of them, including you bus riders out there that are listening, you all should be held accountable and be ashamed of yourselves, every single one of you. Thank you.
Well, hang in there. And you mentioned a bus driver. I was a little confused there. Did he do something good for the riders? And you're not willing to mention his name, but you say he's been on TV all over the place. Can you clarify that? Did he do good for the riders?
Yes. He put his neck on the chopping block.
Okay, so
you know, and he's a veteran bus driver.
I got that part.
You know,
slow down. Slow down. I'm still trying to get clarity here. If you're saying he did good things,
yes.
He's been on TV. Then why fail to name him? Because if the other side know who he is and they retaliate, why don't you name who is this gentleman?
I'll let Barbara tell you his name because I don't want him getting reprimanded again. He's already been reprimanded by his company.
Well, how many bus drivers? You're saying shame on all of them, but except for one. How many bus drivers has appeared on TV?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's give them some credit for being not just crooked and stupid. They also can figure that one out. So anyway, I won't labor it. But who is the gentleman then?
Well, his name is Russell,
okay.
And he really cares about the riders. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to get emotional, but he cares about, because the 14 is like a community, right, when they ride the bus. And he picks up all those disabled adults at ARC school. And last week, they all made little lays for Russell. Oh, Russell, we're not going to see you no more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard because he wants to, you know, it's like I've been told, and it wasn't from him, but I've been told that Carlisle had gone down and told the bus company, your drivers, tell them not to say anything. In fact, they put a gag order that the 14 bus drivers couldn't even tell us what route's coming.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing, and they're throwing something on us at the last minute,
mm-hmm,
and that's Monolani Heights, mm-hmm, for every 100 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Carla, go ahead. You any more before you go? Good morning, Carla. Real quick, you have a comment, a question.
Good morning. My name is Wayne Gow. I'm the president of the St. Louis Heights Community Association,
mm-hmm,
and I took the bus route this morning from the top of St. Louis Heights down all the way to the bottom and on to Kahala Mall to up through Monolani Heights and back. Very interesting route that they now have that they replaced the old route with. If you're a St. Louis Heights resident and you're going down the hill, they'll take you to Kahala Mall, but there's no return trip back when this Route 14 bus returns from Monolani Heights to pick you up at Kahala Mall. Once it goes up Monolani Heights, it goes down Monolani Heights, goes to 7th Avenue, goes down Kapahulu Avenue to pick up, to drop off people at the Safeway Kapahulu, turn around Herbert Street, come back up Kapahulu, and goes up to St. Louis Heights. So, if you're a resident of St. Louis Heights, you can get to Kahala Mall, but there's no way to get back home. And you can find your way to get to Safeway Kapahulu on your own, but the bus will come back, the Route 14 bus will come back to pick you up from Safeway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strange arrangement that they have.
Okay.
The interesting thing is, I noticed, is that if you're living on Monolani Heights, the bus will take you directly to Kapahulu Safeway, but there's no quick return trip for you. So they're leaving St. Louis Heights residents stranded at Kahala. They will leave the Monolani Heights residents stranded at Kapahulu Safeway.
Wow. And that's just today, the new changes, huh?
Yes, that's right. The change went into effect today. I took the very first ride.
I'll be damned. Okay, well, thank you. Is there any more you want to add to that? Or
I'd like to thank and compliment Barbara Armentrout for all she's done for the St. Louis Heights Community Association, and I think that we need more people like her.
Okay, and please feel free to call in again if you come up with any more info or ideas before the next hour in the near future. So.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, and we'll get to Donald. Thank you again in a minute.
Just to confirm what Barbara said, we gave her a ride this morning here, and we went up to her residence. And no, all the way up, I kept saying, wait a minute, no bus up here. This is absolutely ridiculous. And if you want to know, please try going up there yourself and say, there is no bus up here. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Real quick.
Well, there is a bus, but it's going to be every 100 minutes, and there's only going to be one bus. So if that bus breaks down Monolani Heights, we won't have any bus. And then once it starts being late, we could be waiting for 2 hours. And then let me reiterate, it's not only it's going to be the elderly disabled that are really going to hurt that can't get the Safeway. It's going to be middle school children, high school, university students up that live St. Louis Heights were saying, I got to be at school at 11 o'clock. What? It's every 2 hours? How am I going to get there now? And it's also people that choose not to take their car and was taking the bus to work. This is like a lot of people that take the bus, mostly a lot of people, like I'm on a limited income, but there's all bus riders, I would say.
Mm-hmm. So the new mantra for Go Rail Go is go to hell, folks.
Exactly.
And for all of those Go Railers out there that's been supporting this, well, they all got a pig ear sandwich, and they're fat and dumb and happy. And they, in turn, got their thing going on, their mojo, and they're getting their little kickbacks and feedbacks. And they are simply, I think some of the onus should be placed on those supporters. And so that's what I'd have to say there, Richard.
The listeners should do this. Go down to Punch Bowl, blindfolded, and catch a bus. And this applies to the van, too. Or tie a chain 3 feet long from ankle to ankle and see your bus 2 buses away, unable to get there, but then it passes up, leapfrogs, and you still don't have any bus. Now, compound this, how often are these buses timed going to be cut? That is what you should do. Thank you.
And I just harken back to this image of Carlisle declaring he's going to raise hands and join forces with Caldwell. So here we have it. This is what Carlisle has put in our lap. And so, Caldwell, thanks for letting us know what your real spirit is also. So anyway, Donald, go ahead and chime in. We got lots to talk about, but go ahead. Take it from...
Thank you. Thank you, Carol. You know, talking about Carlisle. Mayor Carlisle, 2 years ago he was running for mayor with these three other gentlemen, and I was invited as a guest at the Rotary Club at Royal Hawaiian Hotel, Louise and I, and we attended and listened to their speeches and whatnot, and they took questions from the audience. So when I went up to the podium, and I told them that our group, what our group is all about, and we work with DTS, Wayne Yoshioka, and Oahu Transit Services, the bus and the handy van, and I said if we can't resolve our issues with them, well, your door will be open. I asked all 4 candidates. Rod Tam said yes. Ponnell said yes. Caldwell said yes. Carlisle said no. You have to go through the other, to the proper channels, and work with them. I said, wow, that's a negative thing right there. So, and he had the gall to come afterwards and shake our hand and give his pamphlets and support him, man. I can't believe he did that, but after saying no, my door won't be open. And just getting onto the handy van, you know, there's an eligibility center on First Insurance Building over there at Ward next to Straub Hospital, and that was opened in 2009 for people to be assessed by a trained mobility coordinator, not medically certified. Before, we used to do a paper thing where we fill up the questions that they would ask and get a physician's letter or whatever about our condition, and then it goes to DTS and they determine if you folks get handy van or not. And if you were wanting to get more information about your disability, they would send you to rehab hospital where there's professional trained therapists, medically trained therapists with a degree, assessing you to see how your disability is if you qualify for handy van. Wayne Yoshioka said recently at a City Council Transportation committee meeting with the Council for Transportation on March 1st that they had an update to give to the Council for Transportation. He said, well, we opened this facility in 2009 because it's a good response to get people to be assessed personally by somebody visually that can see them, ask the questions, and check their mobility and coordination. And he said basically that it's a better way of doing it, complying with the ADA guidelines that were put in 1990. And they're on the 8th floor of this building. And I don't know who decided that, but I talked to Mufi Hanuman one time on another radio and asked him, Mr. Mayor, do you know where this about the new facility being open? And he said, yeah, he had a ceremony, cut the ribbon. He can't recall what floor he was. And Bill Burney said, no, I think it was on the 8th floor, Mayor. He was there on the radio. And then he wasn't too sure where it was. And, you know, basically he just cut the ribbon a week ago. And I can't recall why he can't recall that.
Now, speaking of handy vans, what is the total number in the fleet? Let's discuss that fleet issue and the promises to replenish and increase the numbers. And what is the status of that? Can you share that?
Right. Originally, the handy van from the FTA report that they had, they did two audits on the Handy Van, 2009 and 2012. In 2009, the Handy Van fleet was 166 vans. Right now, they're at 158. Out of those 158 vans, there are about 115 that are full-size vans that do wheelchairs and people that can walk on. They're the bigger vans. The rest are like Uplanders, are smaller vans, and the Versas, which are smaller vans that accommodate for one wheelchair and maybe a couple of people, you know, about six people or more in the van that can walk on.
Mm-hmm.
And on July 5th of that week, last month, and during the holiday, there were about 47 full-size Handy Vans down that week for service. And that's a major impact for people that ride the Handy Van and need it for, you know, wheelchairs or those who have special walkers or whatever, and the people that, you know, need to be walked on. You know, that's very hampering right there when you have that many vans down, you're about 115.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been using these smaller Uplander vans to subsidize, as well as the private carriers like the cab and some other vendors, which they mentioned. And the reason why I believe I found out of the 166 vans went to 158 is they had a few fires a year ago, where two vans engulfed in fire, and the front cab engulfed the whole van in the front and destroyed those two vans. And there were some vans that were in accidents that were non-repairable. So they haven't replaced those vans that were taken off the fleet. And there's about eight vans right
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show here at KWAI. You can pick it up at carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and it will be podcast as usual. We're talking about Handy Vans, bus service, bus cuts, and what have you. Don, Barbara has a question for you or with you.
Yeah, Don. I'm aware that there's a lot of elderly and disabled that I see with canes and getting on the bus and trying to ride the bus. A lot of people, St. Louis Heights, try to do that so as not to inconvenience the Handy Vans coming up the hill and things. And I know that they were trying to get a lot of people that were on Handy Vans to try to get them to ride the bus. Mm-hmm. Now with all these bus changes, do you think it's going to put a lot more strain and more people trying to get back on the Handy Van?
Yes, I believe so, because at the March 1st testimony meeting, Roger Morton of Oahu Transit Services, president, manager person, told the council transportation that the ridership has gone up from 2,600 to 3,700 a day. They have seen an increase from 2009, a 6% increase from, say, 840,000 ridership to 809,000 passengers next year, you know, in the 2010. It then just keeps going up and up. He said by now it will be a million riders riding the Handy Van. By end of 2012, so the ridership has gone up, and it's been going up 21%. Mm-hmm. They have 12% private contractors like the cab and some mom and pops vendors that help out in between for the transportation, and then they have a 40% increase on the people with Medicaid assistance. They've been going on the Handy Van for their dialysis or medical treatments, and they're picking up the bulk because the state cut the program for Ohana Care and MedQuest to use transportation. So Handy Van has been taking the burden over there, and
mm-hmm.
That's a lot that's taken out. Not only that, but they mentioned about the special need programs for these individuals that use the services to go in a day to their morning facilities where they have the special needs program people, say Salvation Army or Goodwill, but they're working on having their own companies have some kind of van pool so they can help alleviate the problem with that overburden on a Handy Van.
Richard?
Yes, yeah. I can give you a personal anecdote. I was at Honolulu Holly for a pickup, let's say at 3 o'clock and 3:30, 3:45, 4 o'clock, no van. I asked a person there if I could use the cell phone. She was from New York, And she called the handy van for me, but still no handy van. I then asked the clerk right inside the door of Honolulu Holly, and she called. So eventually I got about an hour and a half late van, and I was told that it's because there weren't enough vans available for the drivers who were there to pick up their vans. Now, the significance of this is when I was picked up, I was with a person who was going to dialysis at Rehab of the Pacific. Now, when he had an appointment earlier, I assume, I do not know this to be a fact, but he loses his time. He does not have the same amount of time on the dialysis as he might have if he were there correctly. Now, this is not an isolated incident. This happens all the time. Mm-hmm. I have a resident manager where I live whose wife is on dialysis three times a week, I guess for about 4 hours, whatever, and she's had significant problems. It has been better lately, thanks to Mr. John Black. He doesn't have the resources nor the power, but he does everything he can for us. Thank you.
Hmm. Yeah, Donald, just recently there were a couple of meetings, and I took special note of this as you guys communicated to me, that all parties had been invited, the relevant to this, the OTS, DTS, and the heads. And Wayne Yoshioka did not show up, nor did his assistant, what's her name? Eileen Mark. And some of you may remember who Eileen Mark is. In the earlier shows, I was able to document where she actually, and I wrote about articles about it, where she actually would, just to conceal and hide things for the developer at Coalina and what have you, she actually withheld documents and interfered with the process of open process. So she then left and went to work for Wayne Yoshioka. I guess the birds of a feather flocked together or frocked together. I don't know what it means, but and there are other things. But back to these meetings that were held by that you people had it there at the city council.
Yes.
And it was what? Horimoto, or what's his name? Breen Horimoto.
Oh, yes.
accommodated you folks?
Yeah. Monthly, he allows a meeting of sea fodder at the city council chambers on the second floor. Now, many people are there. Roger Martin was there. Of course, Horimoto was there. Thanks for giving us the chamber. And Kobayashi and Chang, and a lot of people were there. Martin and Morton were there. But the one who wasn't there was Yoshioka. And it was, he knew about this far in advance, and he say he's off island. Okay, he's off island, but what about Mark? She didn't show up either.
Eileen Martin.
Now, this is compounded by the second day, the next day, at a general council meeting, all nine members, and there is no Yoshioka. Mm-hmm. There is no Mark. And the executive director, I guess that's his name, for the mayor, had to justify they not being there and justify the cuts for the bus and for the van. No Yoshioka.
No justification, but the bus cuts are occurring.
Yes.
But anyway, this particular meeting that Mark, if you could, Donald, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it was something to the effect that she wouldn't come because you had Olelo at the meeting filming it. Could you be specific and share with us the details?
Yes, Carol, I got a call on Monday, this past Monday, I was attending my, on the 13th of August, I was attending my sister's funeral, and we just got over and we were having some get-together at the family house, and I got a phone call from her, and out of the blue, she says, "Hi, Donald, this is Eileen Mark. I have a question about tomorrow's meeting. I heard that Olelo was going to be videotaping there. Is that true?" And I said, "Yes, someone in our group had contacted him to come and videotape our meeting so we can get the word out to the public and they can see what goes on. It's an open meeting. And she said, well, per Wayne Yoshioka, if Olelo is there, we're not going to participate, DTS or OTS. We're not going to be at your meeting. And I said, why? And she said, well, because Olelo is there and per Wayne Yoshioka said. I said, well, let me call you back and see if I can contact that person to set up the Olelo to come and what I can do. So I called my person. That person says it's too late to cancel, and it's too late to cancel the meeting. So I said, well, continue the meeting. I called Eileen Mark back. I called her back. Her voicemail was all full at her system over there at the office. So I waited, and I called her back again. She answered the phone. I said, Eileen, this is Donald, and we're still continuing the meeting on, and we still have an Olelo. She said, well, then we're not going to be there. We're not participating. And I said, well, we regret that you can't come, but last minute, and we hung up.
And they are key to this whole discussion, this what was to occur in that meeting, correct?
Right. Rin Haramoto sent a letter to Mr. Yoshioka on May 15 with some concerns. We had like six questions that we wanted addressed about the handy van services. And Ernie Martin has been sending stuff to Mr. Yoshioka. I think he had about four or five questions that would be addressed at the meeting. And then I had some questions that I sent out for them to respond. I think it was about six questions I sent on August 7th. I don't know if it was enough time for them to respond to that one, but I thought, you know, they would come and just do a report and then answer questions so we can, you know, get answers and maybe resolve the issues that we have with the handy van service and whatever with the bus and stuff like that, but they didn't show up.
Mm-hmm. So, Barbara, you have any comments on any of that?
Well, I would say the Department of Transportation is not forthcoming. All these meetings that they had in all the areas around Oahu, and a lot of people went to these meetings. There were hundreds. And I went personally on the east side of Honolulu to eight of them, where they were unveiling the proposed cuts to the buses. And I heard everybody's, they come to the meetings to tell them, and then they were told, well, email us or call us regarding your thing. No one was taking notes. And I started to notice a trend at different places that they were, I would say now, they were lying or not telling the truth because they would change the way they said things at each neighborhood board. Mm-hmm. Well, the cuts that they have put in place are almost exactly the same ones that came out in the original draft that they handed out on March 29th at the Mission Houses Auditorium, which was the very first meeting about these bus cuts. So I can see, Don, exactly what you mean on that. I even had Mr. Yoshioka, after a public transportation meeting, yell at me. I had no right saying what I said in front of the committee. But all I said was, it's been 140 days and nobody's contacted me or anybody on this petition regarding the 14. And when I left that day, I just went over very nicely, even though I haven't heard back from him. And I says, Wayne, can you at least call Becky, the director of development at ARC School? And he turned around and said, you don't know what's caused all this 14, what you've been doing and all this, like I put a clog in his plans or something, but he works for us. We're the taxpayers. We're paying his salary. If you can't be honest with us, then we need to get a new one in January for the Department of Transportation.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello? Going once, going twice, gone.
Carol,
yes.
Can I tell you an experience I had with the Wayne Yoshioka and his staff at the short-range meeting that they had for the bus and handy van in March? Mm-hmm. And I went to it. I believe it was in April 2nd or something, at Benjamin Parker Elementary School in the cafeteria. I go there early because I catch the handy van, and I got there and I was talking to the custodian that opened the place up, and then two gentlemen from the city came in and they were talking to the custodian. We'll close up and help you close up after the meeting. We don't expect that many people to come to this meeting because the last meeting there was only like 10 people, and we don't expect that much people. So, okay, I'm sitting there. As I'm sitting there, a lot of people coming in and signing their name and everything into the list, and they start sitting down. And all of a sudden, Wayne comes in. He sees me, and Eileen Marks was there, and she was surprised to see me there, and she told me if I want to fill out my name and email address. I said, I'm visually impaired. I'm blind. I can't do that. So can you do it for me? She did. As the meeting was conducted, I asked some questions. Wayne had pamphlets and everything to give out. I raised my hand, and he said, "What is the question?" I said, "You're handing it all this information, but it's in paper form. I'm blind or visually impaired. I can't read this. Do you have alternate format, Braille or other means I can know what you're passing out?" He said, "Oh, no, we don't have, but which one would you prefer next time?" I said, "Either one, Braille or audio." And he said, "Well, we'll work with you on that when we have our next meeting with you, Don, at your quarterly meeting. We'll discuss it." Mm-hmm. Never did on that part.
Nothing, huh?
Nothing on that part. Yeah. And then when we were talking about the changes for the bus route, the ladies raised her hand. She said, "I was on the bus that day going home, and the bus driver didn't point out on the ceiling of the bus that there was a meeting in small print now. I wouldn't have known them about this meeting that was going to be about the bus route changes."
Mm-hmm.
And the information wasn't very clear on the bus. It was very small. It was like concealed. It wasn't very detailed of what was going on. It had the time, place, and where, and it wasn't really visible. And she said they should make it much more better on the bus. And advertising the paper,
mm-hmm.
They just put the website, where you can contact, but there's no phone number.
And nobody have, everybody don't have. We have another caller. You want to get it?
Yeah.
Sure. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. This is it kind of tells you exactly how these bureaucracies are working. And Wayne Yoshioka, I think what he needs to do is he needs to get on the darn bus and if he put his car in storage and get on the bus and have to go here and there and everywhere, and all of a sudden maybe he'll have a change of mind. I was at one of these bus hearings that they had a while back, and he was saying, "Oh, we're really broke. We need to save $7 million and blah blah blah." And I remember that we a number of us said, "Wayne, why don't we have? Why does the bus fare? We increase the bus fare." I said, "Keep the regular, the disabled and the old folks and the working people that get the monthly bus pass, local folks and everything. Keep that at the rate it is, or maybe even reduce that some, raise the fare for the folks that are tourists. I've talked to many tourists from Chicago and New York, different mm-hmm. places. They're paying $4 or $5." Right now, anyway, and so that would make more than the amount needed to make the difference between
increase the fees and deal away with the shortfalls and keep the bus routes, huh?
Right, and yeah, okay. There would be no problem. Actually, we were calculating that. If you raise the bus fare, to say $4 an hour, which is really a norm across the country now, that it would be more than enough.
Well, there would be
like $30 million, and they were trying to save $7 million.
Well, there would be a problem with that, Dave, because it's really not. They don't have enough money. What is happening is the diversion of the money to the rail. Giving them more money means just a greater problem you'd experience. You wouldn't see any changes. But anyway, we're going to go for the next hour, and if you'd like to call back, do so.
Sure.
Help yourself. 524-1080.
Your people that you have, I think I remember them at the hearings, too. So.
our hats are off to everybody, yourself and everybody else, because these are real people. And I'd like to add in a little something, a little insight. From what I'm reading and gathering and looking at all of this, I don't believe Wayne needs to get on a bus and ride, not a single bus. I think what Wayne needs is a heart transplant, because there is no way you can have these many insensitive acts. It's cruel.
Oh, yeah.
To confine, to have people and not recognize putting the evaluation center on the eighth floor or wherever.
Yeah.
And cutting the buses, and then don't bother to put signs up to tell you it's a Sunday morning and you got to get out there and discover it yourself. This is a heartless man. This is nothing about getting on a bus and riding it. This is about heart transplant. And I don't know if anybody out there that would be, it would probably be a waste of a heart, because this guy's just, there's absolutely no way you can pile this many acts of insensitivity on any one community, on any one individual.
Well, I remember when he was talking about, the restroom on an Alipay that would be needed and desperately needed for a lot of folks. And,
yeah.
And he would say, it would just cost more money because we'd have to have a security guard there.
Yeah.
We just don't have the funding. And there again, I'm just shy.
Yeah.
If you remember the last week's Honolulu Weekly, the bus derailed, and that's kind of what's been happening,
Well, Dave, call back the next hour. You're more than welcome to. We're going to, and Richard, real quick. Thank you, Dave.
I have the letter from Breen Horimoto to Wayne Yoshioka, and very quickly, many points, but innovative paradigm working with for the trapeze, and that deals with computer scheduling, never done, or at least we don't know what it was. The quarterly meeting with the Handy Van Corp Council, put up notices about the meetings for CFOTR, not done. Members have relied on disseminating new information, not done.
Yeah, we'll take the rest of that letter up, because those are points that we want to stress. And for example, for the listeners out there, can you imagine the unwillingness on the part of Wayne, who has been approached, to put flyers or post banners on the handy van so you would be better informed, the users of that. And he won't do that, or didn't do that. But yet, I, as a nonprofit organization, I can go out there and put, and I have, I think we put a sign on every single bus in the system for 30 days, and it cost me nothing other than the cost of printing the flyers. But yet, the people that utilize the handy vans are just. But anyway, we'll be back in the next hour if you care to join us. And I'm trying to put the human side of this in, because there's some serious flaws going on here, and I think they're manageable. And before we go, I'd like to leave one and make one suggestion. Why don't you consider campaigning to have him removed? Is it or does his behavior is his behavior, will it rise to that occasion, or are we just gonna?
For me, absolutely.
Real quick now, we're gonna.
Well, I would campaign to do that, but after we get our buses back, because City Council.
Well, how are you gonna get them back if he's still at the helm? So anyway.
Well, they did pass 1-2.
Hold that thought. They passed it, but he's still in place.
I just urge everyone to speak up regarding the changes and to call.
Whatever ingenious ideas that you advance, apparently the buck stops there with him, or the bus stops there with him.
We the people is the answer.
So anyway, we'll be back, Charlie and Donald. Call back in the next hour real quick before you go. Anything, Ray?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so give us a call, same process, and we'll be back. Thank you for joining us. Aloha.
Say oops upside your head, say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head, say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head, say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head, say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head, say oops upside your head. Say oops upside your head.
I'm back at you again. Radio station is WGAP.
Say oops upside your head. Say oops.
Now on all you gappers, and you finger snappers, you toe tappers, and you love lappers, I want y'all to say this with me. Say it loud.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Have a little technical problem here, but it's okay. And anyway, we have Donald Sakamoto on the line, and we have Richard Conte here in the studio with Barbara Armantrout. So we're talking about the bus and the handy vans and all the difficult things. And, guys, thanks for staying over. Hello, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. It's Lita.
Yes.
I have many comments.
Well, okay. Go ahead.
Number one, we have 158 vans, but daily 20% of them don't work.
Mm-hmm.
On July 17th, there was a major catastrophe. 50 of them were down. And I think we're facing this problem because of poor planning. We should have an increase in the number of vans because ridership has gone up at least 6% per year. So that should translate into more vans. But when Wayne Yoshioka et al. Went to the council, they told the budget chair and Kobayashi and the chair, Ernie Martin, they didn't need anything, which was a lie. Because as you pointed out, they are putting money towards the rail. And the fund that is being cut in half used to be all for pretty much the handy van and the bus. But we will be sharing just a half of what that fund is. What's being moved over in the 2013 budget, so they don't have it in their pockets yet, is the $244 million, which was brought out because Ann had shared that information.
Mm-hmm.
We have many points, I think, to have a lawsuit. Instead of trying to get rid of Wayne, what people should do is gather information, evidence. We have evidence that the vans do not work properly. And when a van is sent out without a lift for someone in a wheelchair, that's an extreme violation. When the health issues of our dialysis patients are being undermined because of tardiness. And, you know, if they miss their reserved pickup time because the van was late, they often wait 2 hours. And they are just beat after dialysis. It takes a lot out of you. So that's a health issue that we should be talking about. Mm-hmm. Also, the vans are so old. Many of them, they are over 400,000 and 500,000 miles, so they're falling apart. So we're smelling fumes. They come into the van, and I have complained about those, and so they put a seal in, then I see another hole. So I think that we are being abused as the users of the handy van.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, I think that the people that attend, well, pretty much I would blame it on Wayne Yoshioka because he has the power. Now, there are two other city entities included in that notice about the quarterly meetings. So on those alone, they could run. But what they're doing is having meetings with the group, not answering questions, and just sort of patting us on our heads. And we're tired of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are any handy van users and bus users that can actually pinpoint and give us evidence, that's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been told not to bring things up now, not to make waves. Well, I think it's a time to make waves because it's election time and everybody's out looking for votes. So I think that not only the handy van people, but the bus people should approach the candidates and let them know what's happening and ask them, what can you do for us? Because there are a number of votes
mm-hmm.
when you consider the people that belong to the group, especially the Handy Van people have not been coming out, I would say, in force, but the blind people have, and the Handy Van people haven't really gotten the word. So we're so thrilled, you know, that we're able to talk on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ernie Martin was horrified when he found out how bad the situation of the Handy Van was. He did write a letter to Wayne Yoshioka and assumed that it would be answered at the quarterly meeting, which they didn't show for. So I think people should call the mayor. They should call their council person regarding this situation, which is hazardous. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
there are a number of Kupuna who suffer because these vans are rattle traps.
Mm-hmm.
Let me, if you have arthritis or if you have any kind of hurts, the shocks are minimal, and you know our roads are bad to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So any help we can receive would be greatly affected.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, if you could write letters to the editor, to people, but call your legislators, because everybody's panting for
yeah.
votes.
Yeah.
And call them and ask them, let them know the situation, ask them for help.
Right. Okay.
Mahalo, Carol.
Thank you, and aloha. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Carol.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been riding the bus for decades, over 40 years. My name is Merrill. And it seems to me that the people that's going to get affected are ARC, because Wayne had said that he was going to put Route 22 out there for these kids to ride, which they will not be able to get on the bus because those buses are packed from the time they leave Waikiki. And it's only going to run up until 4 o'clock. Now, a lot of these kids, they go out to these various places like Kahala Mall or Foodland to get out to enjoy being out in the open, getting fresh air and what have you. But being that these things are going to happen, they won't be able to enjoy this luxury.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that they should be, I don't know why they're even touching Route 14. Route 14 is not even broken. If it was a broken route and it needed help, then it would be something else. But out of all the routes, the 14 takes care of all the people from St. Louis, Kahala, to Waikiki, to Kaimiki, to Sierra, and the people, this bus line was designed 40 years ago for the people of Honolulu. Now the people have no voice.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen next? Are they trying to kill all these old people off? The elderly, the handicapped, and the young folks. These
mm-hmm.
are the three groups that we should be considering.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't, we just might as well just throw everything up in the air and forget it, because we have no help. Nobody's out there to help us.
Yeah.
We need the help. We need it now. And we need Ben to come on and say, we will do this, we will do that. But we need to get this thing back on track. We need to get the people rolling. All these people, my good friend Tommy D, who's saying he's a veteran. He gave his life for us, for a lot of us. And yet he's being denied transportation. Or Rose, or Barbara, she's not well herself, but she mm-hmm. depends on these buses. That's why she goes out to all these different meetings. And I really take my hat off to all these people that have shown initiative to come out and to show that they are in favor of the bus routes being restored to like how it is right now. It took 40 years to make us number one. It took us 40 years to be. Now, it took just 3 months for us to be from number one to number one at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is my feelings.
All right.
And I ride the bus every day.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Merrill, thank you, and please feel free to call back. We'll hold more shows, or if you have in the next
thank
hour.
You, Carol.
Thank you. Aloha.
Much. You're doing a fantastic job.
Aloha. Mahalo. Thank you. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question, please?
Oh, Carol.
Yes.
My name is Tommy D again. I had called and I was listening to what that lady earlier had said prior to Merle coming on. And what
Layla Hubbard.
What she doesn't understand is that myself and so many other people, we have gone to the meetings. We have physically, facially, Barbara and that bus driver went down personally and saw Kai Connell face to face. I saw him three times. I saw Peter Carlisle. I saw Kirk Hardwell. And he said straight to me, if I'm elected, I promise you, Tommy, he said it straight out. I got it on tape, and he said, I will restore the bus routes. And then I emailed all council people, and the only two council people that emailed me back was Tom Berg and Ernie Martin. Those are the only two. The rest of them never bothered to email back. And my basic question is this. We are out there. We have tried, and since I've been trying, I've been fighting this since April, all the way to the present time. And I'm 66 years old. I have a heart issue. I have shrapnel on me that Charlie gave me as a present from Vietnam. And you know, I'm not in the best of health, but I'm doing the best that I possibly can under the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And it stresses me out. And I got a bad case of PTSD. And I think if I didn't have God, you'd probably see me on the newspaper doing something else. But straight up, straight out, I don't understand, where is Governor Abercrombie in all this? I have not heard, seen anything of him, because he can override Peter Carlisle right now. He could actually stand up and be a governor for the people. And
well, I don't know if I don't know if that's factual, because it's a city matter, and I don't know government process that much. But this is Peter Carlisle and Caldwell, Danny Noy, Mufi Hanneman, Go Rail Go, all those people, and the unions who say it's going to bring jobs, but how many people are you going to step on and bury before you get these jobs? So,
you know, it's funny you brought up Senator Illinois. I'm glad you did, because as a veteran, I met him, Shinseki, and all up at the VA one day. They were all up there passing out coins and doing photo ops. And, of course, me being the guy that I am, everybody else over there bowing down to these guys, I spoke out. And I said, a lot of veterans are going to be messed up and hurt and stuff like that. And all they said to me, and Senator Noy, and I said, you're always for the 442nd. I said, what about the Korean vets, the Vietnam vets, the World War II vets, all these other veterans? All you talk about is the 442. Nothing wrong with that. But I said, what about the rest of us? And I said, mm-hmm. The handicaps and the guys have to come up here. And all he says is, we're looking into it. That's
yeah.
That was it. We're looking into it.
Yeah, well, I think we, and this is just my opinion and my observation, is that we give, I don't believe we've seen the potential of what is the city council, for example, has at its disposal, its arsenal of attacks that they could have taken. As you, Tulsi Gabbard, she supports the rail, but how can you support the rail when everything else is going to hell around you and the citizen? How can, you know, Breen Haramoto, good man, does all that, but he supports the rail. What does it take? How much criminal actions and how much criminal acts and how much underhand behavior does it take for the city council? I mean, Tom Berg voted against it, and he's carrying the banner. But I'm a little nauseated when people come on the show and they say, well, Breen is doing this and he's facilitating us in this, and so is Ann Kobayashi, and then Tulsi Gabbard is doing this for us. But what, at the end of the day, you still got nothing.
Exactly.
Absolutely nothing. And those city councils that are offended, I would say I am equally offended or doubly offended when all you do is in this process, Wayne Yoshioka gets complaints, risers. He don't answer them. He don't respond. He won't attend meetings because Olelo is being filmed. We're filming it. All of that. What relevance does that have to do on the people's lives and what have you? And so the city council has been remiss in their duties, too. They're giving a little bit. They're inviting us to the dinner, but they never bother to see what groceries they're going to be serving us.
Good point. You know, Carol, I want to ask you this seriously. Barbara, like I said, myself and other people, where do we go next? We've done the letters. We've done the councilman things. We've done,
right.
We've done the meetings. We've done the TV. We've done the radio. And it's like, what else can we do anymore? What, I mean, where is the next? What can we do? Do we write Obama? I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm serious. What is the next step that they're not listening to us?
Right.
I am so frustrated. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, we'll just take a deep breath and keep fighting. But I would just offer that insight that we can't. We give too much praise, and Ann Kobayashi is a nice person, but they need to call a major investigation or call something.
Exactly.
But instead, it's, well, okay, we did this. I'm not going to sign that and approve it, but my deputy of the committee will sign it. You know, where's the screaming and shouting? Where's Tulsi Gabbard? Where is she at? She now has the gravy train going on up north.
Right.
Where is she at? I'm tired of seeing this. So my advice to all of you out there, while it's nice to be polite, but stand back and ask. They're all part of the process. So if you got seven of them continually voting, but yet they accommodate you in your little meeting places, and they write letters, and then the letters stay unanswered for months, you need to reevaluate where your trust is and start growling and biting and snapping at everybody.
Well, thank you, Carol.
Okay.
You know, thank you for your show. Thank you for bringing Barbara on and everybody, and thank you for opening your lines for the people.
Okay.
To be able to speak, and thank you for being the honest gentleman that you are.
All right, Tommy D. We'll talk to you. Aloha.
Carol.
Yes.
Yeah, concerning the issue, Louise, in her testimony to the council on March 1st of this year, she mentioned that there should be a timeline, that these things should be addressed, and it hasn't been addressed for years now.
Right.
And another thing is, Wayne said this: it's a shared ride for Handy Van, but we want a fair ride, because they've been stacking people on schedules. For instance, I had somebody call me yesterday evening saying that she had people on a 3 o'clock Handy Van coming from Honolulu to Kaneohe. And then that same van was picking up people for the 5 o'clock, and those people are still on the, for 3 o'clock, still on the van. They didn't get dropped off till later, and that's too long for people to be on the van if they have they're in pain, or they're in they're elderly or disabled, to endure. You know how the roadways
right,
are,
right.
Bump, 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 and right. The van doesn't have some, most of the vans don't have a what you call shock
shock absorbers.
Shock absorbers, or you know, what do you call it? But
well, Wayne Yoshino, he has shock absorbers in his job. Anything that is hit him, nobody say Wayne, you're fired or bringing yourself in. But let's get this other caller, because they want to call it. You go ahead and have a comment, a question.
Yeah, you know, Carol, me again, Dave. The deal is. Wait a minute, what am I saying? Anyway, I remember when we were at one of those hearings, a whole lot of folks were saying, you know what, we need to have a Fosse again, a Frank Fosse that brought these buses to us in the first place. And
yeah.
You know, the thing about a fellow like Fosse, he came from New Haven, Connecticut. And
well, yeah, Dave, well, I got some good news and bad news. Frank ain't here with us no more. It ain't going to happen. It's going to take living bodies to start processing what is occurring, and we need to check. See, the thing is, I look at Richard DeConte here. Richard, just as an example, what is your background? When you went to Jesuit?
No, I was originally from San Francisco, and I went to St. Ignatius Preparatory High School and the Jesuits, and then I went to City College in San Francisco State. I became a teacher. I came here in 1969. Mm-hmm. The year 2000, I fell quadriplegic, and in 6 months I was walking because of rehab of the Pacific is angelic.
But you needed the assistance of the bus and the handy van to get you there, right?
Absolutely.
So how would that have impacted you if you had to sit and wait 2 hours and drag yourself out on your hands?
I've done that already. No, you don't have to tell me. Once again, what I said about blindfold yourself and tie your ankles, you're talking about me.
Yeah.
I have difficulty sitting down, so I have to stand up. And I have stood for 2 hours.
Right. Dave, let me get this other caller. We want to share with everybody, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Just one last point if I can say.
Right.
To say about Fosse is that he, because he had known what it was like to be a poor guy in the ghetto there in New Haven, in Connecticut, and coming here, and he understood that, you know, the regular folks need regular transportation and farmers markets and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Okay.
And that's what we need again.
Somebody okay.
That understands regular folks.
All righty, brother. Thank you.
Okay.
Aloha. Good morning. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Yes, I do. I don't know what the criteria is for people who use handyman services, but I golf, and I see handyman brings a guy twice a week, empty handyman brings a golfer to the golf course, and after about 3 hours of golf, that empty handyman comes here, picks him up, and takes him home. He has his private chauffeur service just to go to the golf course. So I don't know what the criteria is. Perhaps by doing this, it's preventing someone from getting handyman services to go to dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
As far as dialysis is concerned, it's critical because of the number of seats that they have in the centers that you be there on time. Has any of the people who are using need dialysis service who have appointment considered dialing 22222 Frank DeLima's taxi cab to get to the dialysis center on time rather than wait and stew and get there late? And the dialysis center has an empty seat that could be used for someone else.
Ed,
I'll hang up and yeah.
Well, I thank you, Ed, for always your insight, and I think that a lot of people probably have some added comment to that. You hear Richard real
yes,
quick?
Yes, please. I would like this gentleman to find out the number of the van, the time this happens, how frequently it happens. I find this to be atypical, and in terms of dialysis, they can't just call the cab and get an appointment with dialysis. If you have a 10 o'clock appointment and the van hasn't come by 10:30 or 10:45, now you could call a cab. However, you've already lost that time for dialysis.
And then you have to have a coupon, I'm told. There's a process. Donald, you could speak to that. Isn't there a coupon involved?
Yes, Carol. A lot of the agencies have coupons, you know, for the Medicaid people and mm-hmm. the people that use the special need program, people that go to school or whatever. Recently, we have a coupon that has been changed starting July 1st of this year. They put in expiration dates. The reason why is they're having people make fake coupons and been using it on the handy van services, and they want expiration dates, but it's only for the one from July this year to September 31st mm-hmm. of this year. You have to use them, and then you have to redeem your old coupons by that date. If you have older ones without the expiration date, and the new coupons that are coming out now are good for September 2013, end of September 13, and that's only 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I contacted Mr. Haramoto's office. One of the aides sent an email to Corporation Council concerning the legality of the expiration date if I was on the state, gift certificate law. It has to be not less than 2 years if it has an expiration date
mm-hmm.
For use.
Okay.
Concerning about the taxi and whatnot, Handyvan does use the cab, the 4222 people, but in a different way. They have contracted them to have so many cabs take care of their runs for medical needs or for other needs of people trying to get to their destination. And one of them was the dialysis people
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the cancer patients and whatnot who have to get to their appointments on time. Mm-hmm. So they are using the cab, but sometimes the cab gets too busy, mm-hmm. because they have other clients they serve also. But they do try their best to help with the overload
yeah,
of transportation.
I have another caller, but before that, I'm interested in that as cynical or unfriendly or unkind Ed's comments may sound, if there is in fact, and I've given thought to this too, as anything, there can be abuse. But what on face value, this person, is he actually walking around and golfing and all? And we don't know, but he may be going there for something else. But if it's afforded and allowed, then it's not the individual. It's the system that should be, as that assessment center
mm-hmm.
should look at that individual. And I, too, often think, is what portion of this the delay in arrivals can be attributed to abuse on individuals' part in human beings. So go ahead, Richard.
Well, if you first saw one of the people that's with our group, she has a mental problem, and if she got on the van, you might say, well, there's nothing wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that occurs. So mm-hmm. it's very deceiving.
Well, yeah, and I anticipate these kinds of questions and comments from Ed, and it's not a shock, but there's some merit too if we ignore people like that. There needs to be someone to shake us to reality and admit. Right?
Must listen to other people.
Right.
Well, now, with all these changes in the bus, it's crippling the elderly and the disabled who ride the bus because I have to take two or three extra transfers. Personally, on the 14 now, it's going to take over 2 hours for like if I had to go to Straub for a half-hour appointment, it's going to take 2.5 hours to go home. So it's going to take 4.5 hours transportation to go down to Ward and Baratania for a half-hour appointment. And I'm not the only person that's going to happen to. It's going to be crippling to a lot of the elderly don't ride the peak hours. Soon as the peak buses stop, they get up from 9 to 3 and they go to Chinatown, they go to doctors, they go grocery shopping. They're not going to be able to get along around because it's standing room only almost on every bus. And right there is a liability. That is a liability. Okay. And I know there's federal funds for the buses, but the disabled should not have to stand.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, you have a comment or question, please?
Yeah, this is Julia. Belisario. I wanted to call about the, set of street about the dialysis patients. I've been with Handyman since 1984, 1985. And I've been connected with all the different committees that they had. And dialysis people who were not even thought of when, they started to use Handyman. It took a lot of meetings, a lot of educating the city to tell them, and Handyman, to tell them what dialysis people were going through, that they had to get to their machine on time, and that when they were done, they would have to be picked up so that they could go home because they were wiped out. They were hungry, tired, and they needed to go home as soon as possible. But for a lot of them, they had to wait maybe an hour, 2 hours, just to get a ride home, okay? The committee made them aware, we worked very hard to make sure that Handyman knew what dialysis was all about. If the person missed their time, sometimes it'd be cut maybe 15 minutes, sometimes maybe even a half an hour. If they were late often, what would happen is it would either be their time in the morning, say they went in the morning, the time was taken away, they were put into an EC slot. We started to educate the people to not to let them do that. We told them to fight it. And I've been working on this for a long time, partly because my mom was on dialysis. And in order for her to get the service, I had to make sure that Handyman knew what it was all about. And this is why I got involved with Handyman.
Right.
It was to fight for dialysis because they really didn't know anything about dialysis.
Right.
But now, what they're doing now, and, I think it's a real big step, is that, when I heard, like Richard DeConte, when he was saying, they can use the task, what's happening is, the workers was getting private transport to pick up dialysis patients and make sure they get on the machine on time.
Right.
And some of them, they're working at it. They're very good at doing this, but one thing they're not good at, there's no consistency. You know, they can do it for maybe a month, and later on it goes right back to where it was.
Okay.
That's why he's been for so long.
Okay.
Handyman has the cab, which is, they're on the contract to move Handyman.
Yes.
Cab, and then they also have Montan cab, who is under the cab.
Yes.
They have Maneri taxi, who is also under the cab.
Yes.
They also have ProCare that is on the windward side, and they're using ProCare quite a bit. It's a very popular transport with the windward residents. Okay? They are negotiating with another transportation company, which is called Hawaii Super Handyman.
And let me ask you a question. Stop for a minute. Hold on. What you work for the city?
No. I've been involved with Handyman.
Okay, are you an advocate for the people?
She's in our group.
Okay, I didn't know. But anyway, that's down the road. They're working on these things, my problem is that I have in my hand a stack of letters to and from, but nobody's answering. These go back, some of them a year back, and they don't answer. So I guess I don't want to cut you off.
We went through that.
So what are you suggesting?
But eventually, they become what I call rubbish dump committees.
Okay.
When that happened, I quit. I just resigned because how can you work with a committee that they're getting everything? You know, they get early transportation. You know, they have no problems. And then, you know, so I resigned from the committee. Then it goes back to the same way. They go back to the same way. This has been going on for a long time. I don't know if you know about it, but Andy Van has been under contract. They used to have bids for the city would hold so that they would bid for who would get the contract for Andy Van. And it's been going on for as long as I can remember until the city council got tired and said they didn't want to do it no more bidding. So they gave Andy Van the Department of Transportation.
So what is the solution? I'm hearing you're telling me the history of its failures. What are you recommending? You were on the committees real quick, and I'll get to another call.
What I'm recommending is that, see, our problem is we got to follow their rules, okay? In order for them to work for us, we have to document everything. And Louise Hoyer was the one who told us document.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you going to get people to document, especially dialysis people, they're tired? People are afraid of retaliation, this kind of thing. So what I want to do is to make sure that the public knows that if they start documenting, start calling Andy Van, complaint department, you know, the customer service, even call, the city council. It's not just after their people. But you see, the city council, when they were in charge of Andy Van, this is when they didn't have their 1 year, 2 year term.
Right.
You know, but when they initiated that, everything changed. And you'd be surprised where a lot of members of council, they don't know what Andy Van was all about. I went to a meeting and I asked them, I asked the committee of transportation, I asked them, when did you give up watching over Andy Van? And nobody answered me. Nobody answered me. But right after the meeting, then Yoshioka approached me and said that,
Okay. Listen. Let's do this. This is just too much information, and I don't even. And just but. Well, pardon me. Well, what I'd like to offer you is that would you be willing to come in on another occasion and talk? Because right now, what you're tossing out might be relevant.
No problem.
But okay, can you send me an email at carol@carolcox.com, CARROLL, at CARROLLCOX.com. Okay?
Alrighty.
Thank you so much. Aloha.
Yeah,
good morning, caller. You have a comment or question quickly? Hello?
Hey.
Yes.
Aloha.
Yes, aloha. You have
Hi,
a...
Brother Carol.
Yes, you have a comment, a question?
Yeah, Filippo here. So, you know, I'm listening to this, and all of this input is very important. And also to the people who really need the service, you know. But, you know, the bottom line of this thing is these people on the console are not listening to anyone. I have gone there and testified. Is that they don't? It doesn't even go into one ear and out the other. It doesn't go in at all. And the right now, basically, what people can do is simple. Tom Berg is being threatened by this Kimberly Pine, who sits in the legislature right now. She is basically. Dragon killer.
Well, Tom got his own. Wait, Filippo. Tom has his own baggage, so I'm not going to sit here and
what people can do is to protect those who are protecting them.
Right.
That are servicing.
Right.
That are servicing them now.
Mm-hmm.
And get rid of those who are not.
Yeah.
Whether you're in a wheelchair or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just
get in their face. They cannot stand the people to get in their face. That's why they can't stand Tom Burr.
Mm-hmm. Well,
just be with that.
Well, I think it's what you're saying has some merit, but on the other hand, I don't want to give the impression that you know that we're advocating for Tom Berg, and this is what it comes across. We can do this on another show, and Tom is welcome to come in. And yes, he's signed some bills, but that could also be that he's very foxy and figure when a drowning man, he reaches to grab anything and everything. So. I just have to. We'll discuss that later. And thanks for calling.
Okay, well, aloha.
I also did in fact, and this is the politics. When and I don't, you know, I sit here and say kind words for Governor Cayetano and what have you, but
you know, it's not isolated. It's everywhere, you know, in the people's face.
Yeah, I understand. But I was here. Thank you. Aloha.
Thank you, brother.
All right. I went by Governor Cayetano's office, the campaign office, and I'm always speaking kindly and what have you, but I ask, this is Jacqueline Keto responded. She's a new press person, and she says, Governor Cayetano thanks you for the invitation to participate in your Sunday radio program. He's unable to do so, however, given the demands of his schedule. Many thanks for thinking of him. Well, I wasn't thinking of him. I was, and this is where this pitfall. We advocate for all of these politicians, and we say kind words. If the governor or the candidate, mayoral candidate, Ben Cayetano, is busy, I understand that. But there are other people like Jacqueline Keto. She could have typed out a response or asked me what specifically. So we serve these deities, and because we are all stuck in a hole right now in any semblance of a hope, we run out there and reach and start advocating for them. And I would say the best thing to do for any politician, quit advocating for them. Let them put up, and then we judge their actions. I can't believe that Wayne Yoshioka is still standing in place now that I've learned what. And he's back in Washington. I have good sources on this. He's back in Washington to make an assessment of how to build the transit center. Well, that should have been done a long time ago. That's one of his purposes for being on the mainland. So he can't get around, and the noose is slipping around him, but who's going to pull the lever? Which city councilman? Romy Cocciola? Of all the people that would be impacted, Kalihi, a lot of the people there work in the tourist industry at the hotels. What's he doing? Well, I was thinking, and they come out strong, and then when you look at the vote, Nestor Garcia, he votes, right? City Council's Ethics Commission says, well, his votes won't impact. Apparently, his votes do impact the outcome. Go ahead, real quick.
Well, I think the public want to hear from these mayoral candidates and want to know, like, the buses are being changed. That's one reason we're on today. There's a major change. Tomorrow we're going to see how bad it really is when all the universities go back. And it's not just we're for the rail, we're against the rail. It seems like it's all, like, on a scale of justice. It's all rail, go rail, and the hell with the rest of you. Mm-hmm. All of us that are really complaining are getting cut on the buses on the east side, the windward side, the north shore. We're not even going to have rail. So we're just fighting for our lifeline. And I believe the voters have spoken and will continue to do so. And I urge anybody with what's happening to speak out. You don't like it. Any bus line you're on, whatever, let's just not give up. And someone on the bus the other day says, what's it going to take, us picketing Honolulu Holly? I don't know. I would hope not. But as an indication, Anthony Guerrero Jr. is the chairman of the board of the bus company, OTS, but then he also just was appointed in May to be on the board of directors for Move Oahu Forward, which is a group of Honolulu business leaders who support the city's rail transit project.
So no conflict of interest.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. And they have some ads on the bus. You'll get your buses back once rail starts.
Right.
Well, then there's in that Nelson Nygaard report, it says no maintenance facility is supposed to be built for the buses until after the rail's operational. So mm-hmm. there's the handy van repairs. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Richard?
Well, this is as of yesterday's Saturday paper. It's for John Yoshimura, and this is just the last paragraph. Yoshimura said he will continue to support rail transit until somebody shows me a compelling reason why we shouldn't build it.
Now, is this after he's inebriated or before? Because the last time I heard of John Yoshimura, he was at the scene of a car accident that disappeared from city council, and now he pops back up. This is a disrespect that these politicians show the voters in this city and county of Honolulu.
They are incorrigible, and worse than that, they are unconscionable.
Now, here's what's scary, folks. Now, you think standing on the side of the street at 8 in the nighttime in the dark and it's raining, and you're scared because you don't know when the bus is going to come. Guess what? We have Ron Manure, who was pulled over and found to be intoxicated.
Yes.
And in turn, yes. Shopo supported him, and Shopo is the one who pulled him over and documented and gave him the, not Shoko, but members of police officers, and then they turned around and supported him. I mean, that's on his banner, Ron Manure. Now, so you got Ron Manure, and now you might have John Yoshioka sitting there serving you, and I'm just trying to...
Yoshimura.
Will it be during cocktail hours, or will it be... when, or did they go to AA? Or maybe they'll be using the AA bus or the handy van to get to AAA meetings. You know.
No time, just one word, and I have a lot here. Nestor Garcia.
And?
And I have the council communication showing 185 disclosures of interest, and this is for nine members, and there's 185. I have the same thing for Nestor Garcia in front of me, disclosure of interest statement, 194 for one council member, Nestor Garcia.
Declaration. Just read one of those if at the bottom where he's declaring, real quick.
I file this. We're over abundance of caution as I am executive director of the Kapolei Chamber of Commerce, which has publicly expressed in support of the city's rail project. Very quickly, two chambers of commerce, Hunt Development, Dura Construction, HECO, First Hawaiian Bank, Bill 31, Hart. He voted, was present, debated, deliberated, and voted, and he still does, yet he's under a fine of $6,500, found guilty of these allegations, and he still sits, he still votes, he still rhetorically tries to persuade the rest of the council.
Now, one of the bigger things is that you mentioned Ducor Constructors. Follow this name, folks, Ducor Constructors. Nestor Garcia, and we haven't seen this in the news, and we'll be coming out with some greater details on this. Thanks to Vic, Richard here for bringing it to my attention. Ducor has actually had contracts in doing the Sand Island treatment plant.
Safety.
And Richard, read what he's saying. And I apologize, folks, for so much detail. But
I disclose, this is Nestor, this is in... I disclose that I am a safety officer with Dura Constructions Incorporated, as they are in the construction industry and may be impacted by the elements of this amended code.
Now, what is Nestor's safety inspector or safety person's background and experience? Now, I did call Ducor to confirm and spoke to a gentleman named Robin who said that, yes, Nestor Garcia has been working there for 5 to 6 years. So the question is, why didn't the Chuck Tato, our grateful, or whatever that you call the Ethics Commission, yeah. What it is, cover-upper, he fined him on the Kapolei Chamber of Commerce issues for not disclosing that. But I don't recall him ever. So my question is, and now, Ducor, Some of you know Ducor from the time of Henry Peters. Remember Kamehameha Schools? They built, if you go back and Google Ducor Constructors. So how did Nestor Garcia get tangled up in this group of people that for Kamehameha Schools basically went and redid the work that they did because it was shoddy work? And there's some bigger questions, but Ducor Constructors.
Yeah.
And so anyway, real quick, Don, you have a comment before we get down to the last few minutes?
Yeah, thanks, Carl, for everything. Anyway, I just want to make sure that we get our questions responded from Wayne Yoshioka concerning the trapeze system. They had it so long, they're having somebody from a private consulting company from the mainland, Innovative Paradigms, to work on it from Sacramento to tweak it so it can be utilized fully for our paratransit handy van.
What is the trapeze for the listeners out there?
Trapeze, basically what it is, it's a scheduling program that they use at paratransit handy van. The schedules arise for the people, the consumers, and then they also have communications through the vans from the office. And a lot of the times, the communication from the office to the van is down. You know, they don't get the response. So sometimes the driver will show up at somebody's residence or business to pick up somebody, and that person has already canceled, but they still go there. It's just a waste of time, money.
So they need to adopt a new communication and scheduling and dispatch.
The police department had this trapeze before, and they had problems with it because they had blind spots where they couldn't get communication, so they dropped it and got a new one. And then right now, Handyvan uses it. I think the EMS, ambulance, fire department, Homeland Security use it. And there's only a few towers around the island that, you know, boost the signal. So everybody's using the same towers. So it can get like overload sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's my prerogative.
Okay. Barbara, real quick.
Okay. Well, in closing, the bus is a public service for the public, for the people. And it's getting cut. And I encourage anyone with what's going on to continue speaking up, because they're cutting the rides, they're moving everything around. People can't ride it anymore. Mm-hmm. We're being crippled in the houses, and it's like, I know for a fact, everybody that's on the petition for 14, now our petition is to give our route back, and I want all the routes given back to everybody. And I know St. Louis Community Association on September 10th at 7 p.m. at Hokulani School has asked DTS to come. Mm-hmm. So anybody from any route, come that night. It's a Monday night at 7 p.m. because they're supposed to be there. Let's see if they show.
Okay.
Finally, knowledge is power. And without knowledge, the people have no power. There is very little transparency.
So what I would add to that, all of you and the listeners out there, while some may sit back at home and go, well, they're complaining about not getting a ride or being missing the bus for a ride, I would say we're all being taken for a ride as taxpayers. And that is the truth of it. This system, all the way from Dan Inouye, Maisie Hirono, and all of them, if you support this rail, given the behavior and all of this that's coming out, I'm sorry, something's wrong there in your ethics and your care and your humanitarian spirit. It's absent. I'm sorry. The next time anyone tell me about how great they are, well, you know, I would submit this to you. There is no way, if one individual is having to miss dialysis, or one young lady told me the other day that she gets on the bus, on the van, and she is met with this kind of behavior. Hey, how about sadomasochist behavior? Would you like to participate? I'd like to tie you up. And so there is a climate of retaliation. If you were, as a rider, to file a complaint, then will you get retaliated further? And, you know, the tie-downs, for example, as simple as this may not mean anything to us, but there's supposed to be certain tie-downs on the vehicle when you put a wheelchair in. Because this is law. But one young lady said that the gentleman put in with one strap, and they made a turn and flipped over. The wheelchair, she flipped over. It's that simple behavior may not be important to us, but and this is just problematic throughout the system.
Well, and then the rail is a certain percentage of people, but there's twice as many people that aren't going to be serviced by the rail, mm-hmm. and they're forgetting about us. Mm-hmm. So I hope everybody remembers when they vote in November, and that's when I hope all these other people come out.
And Carol, you know, the rail, the bus and the handy vans are going to be feeders to the rail station. So mm-hmm. what happens when those handy vans and those buses are feeders, and where does the other community get their transportation?
Okay.
General excise tax.
Mm-hmm. Well, Barbara Armand-Trout, thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Richard DeConte, thank you. And Don Sakamoto, thank you. And
thank you.
Layla Hubbard and Tony D and everybody else. I'm sure there are others that I've spoken with that were concerned with calling in and they would be retaliated or so.
Let's do this again.
We'll do it again, and thank you. And some of it may be repetitive, but the bigger issue is Wayne Yoshioka, Daniel Inouye, who stands there and says it's going to be done. And then in turn, let all of the mayhem and the maiming and the injuries to be inflicted upon the people. So we'll talk later, and thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Aloha.
You.
Aloha. Aloha. Now, this is, there was also Miss Paula Hein, and we'll talk about her next week.
Yeah.
So
you should.
Because there was a lot on hand.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.